You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, 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 yes. It's Thursday, the 29th of September, 2022. Yes, it's wonderful to be alive at this time in history. Not! It's a bloody nightmare. Thanks to those lovely people that we call leaders. But hey, every dog has its day. And you know what? You can feel like you're on the losing side right now. You can look around and you think, I'm losing. Maybe even you feel like a loser. There's an old Tom Petty song I recommend you go and listen to. All right, Tom Petty. It's called Even the Losers. And this is what it says. It says, even the losers get lucky sometimes. Even the losers keep a little bit of pride. All right. So listener, if you're feeling like you're losing, you're feeling like you've lost, just you hang on in there. Trust me. I've been in that position many times in my life, walking the roads thinking, oh, I'm a loser. Oh, I've lost it all. Oh, I've blown it all. But listen, stay in the ring. Keep your chin up. Keep your powder dry. And trust me, every dog has its day. And even the losers get lucky sometimes. If you're out there and you feel like shouting amen, you just feel free to do that. And by the way, amen means let it be so. Let it be so. I don't know where that one came from. That's just Rick, flowing stream of consciousness if you're into all that stuff. I don't know. I'm just rambling. Dan Tubb was joining us out of the blocks. What a session we had on economics, eh? What a session on economics. Later on in the show, Rob Hutchinson is joining me from sunny South Africa, where all hell is breaking loose there also. And in the middle, the old the Vegemite in the sandwich is none other than Mr. Greg Mabry. Hope you don't mind me referring to you as Vegemite. Vegemite sandwich. Thinking of another song, Down Under by Men at Work. She just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. That came out back in the 80s. Nobody in the UK had a clue what a Vegemite sandwich was until neighbours came along, and then Vegemite was everywhere. And I know my gran's fond of Vegemite. He likes eating muffins with Vegemite on it because he's strange. Yes, you learn something new every day here on TNT Radio. But enough character assassination on my part. Let's look at what's making the news, or certainly bubbling to the surface of the cesspit. Let me just say, in the UK, a hospital under freedom of information revelations, it has been revealed that a hospital is still paying £138,000 per year, paying two staff members to stand at the doors and give out free masks and little bottles of hand sanitizers to entry and people coming into the hospital, the equivalent of £138,000 per year on two people to stand handing out masks. This is still going on. What else is happening out there? Yes, CBDCs are in development. I did a Twitter space last night with David Nolan from Stop Common Pass and some other folk. We were talking about the development of central bank digital currencies, which effectively will be their alternative to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And of course, they will want to regulate it and control them and program them and keep you locked down. So they're under development. Nord Stream 1 and 2, targeted for sabotage. Kim.com on Twitter, who's a very savvy commentator. I think he's a German who's in exile in New Zealand at the moment while they wait to deport him to America. I might be wrong about that, but anyway, he talks a lot of sense. He said the sabotage of Nord Stream 1 and 2 targets the desire of Germany to negotiate peace with Russia in an effort to save the German industry from total collapse. This goal to find a settlement is the reason why Germany is refusing to send Leopard 2 tanks, etc., to Ukraine. I saw a meme today. I'm not sure if this is actually what Kissinger said, but it made me laugh. He said, if you're an enemy of America, beware. If you're a friend of America, it's fatal. So if you're an enemy just watch yourself. But if you're a friend of America, you're done. So anyway, whether Kissinger said that or not, I don't know. But you know what? Whoever said it was bang on the mark. Right over the target, dropping nukes. Anyway, a lot to talk about today before we launch into it. Just to keep you aware that we have a calendar, if you will, a schedule on our website, tntradio.live. And on that, if you are about to host an event, want to promote an event, or are looking for an event to attend in your area, check out our website, tntradio.live, and either scan it for things that are happening in your area and certainly connect with those people and meet up with them and network with them, or promote your event. Details, location, when it's happening, etc. Submit it to our website and we will do our best to promote what you're doing. Because you know what? That's the way we rule here. We're your friendly neighborhood TNT Radio.
Focused on the facts.
It's never biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mr. Greg J. Mabry is in the towers of TNT once again. Always nice to see him. He's got the black happening. He's got a little bit of red detail on his t-shirt. He's even got like a red rope thing hanging off his glasses. I don't know if he's trying to coordinate. Oh, look, he's looking quite, I don't want to say sinister, but yeah, he's looking cool. Let me just say that. Greg, how are you doing, by the way? Are you well?
Doing okay, Rick. Yes, doing fine. Yeah, you noticed I had a little bit of bling on with my black today too.
So, yeah. But any reason for that? Is that in honor of Coolio, the rapper who has died at 59 and seems to be making world hit? Are you trying to appear like a gangster rapper?
No, my days of appearing like a gangster rapper are well and truly over, my man. I can tell you that right now. Now, this is actually one of those, it wards off the 5G microwaves, apparently. You know? Okay. So, I don't know whether it's working or not, but I certainly paid good money for it. But it looks like a nice piece of bling anyway. So you know.
It looks good. But, it looks anyway, good. Tell me this. You're now well into your tenure as a TNT radio host yourself. How are you finding the job? You have a show that's on at the weekends, the No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry. How's that one been going for you?
Look, it's going well, Rick. You know, this is a bit new for me, obviously, but I'm sort of seem to be hitting my stride. I had a wonderful meet and greet last Saturday with a fellow called Guido Preparata, who's written some very interesting stuff on the Second World War and the rise of the Nazis and, you know, how sort of the peace conference in Versailles in 1919 led to the conditions in Germany that gave rise to Hitler. It's not just dry history either, because Guido, being an economist, he tries to place the whole story in the context of what's happening here and now. In fact, I had a conversation with him this afternoon, a private conversation with him, and he's got a few projects on the boil, and I'm going to publish some more of his stuff on my Substack page. But yes, look, go and have a listen to our broadcast from last Saturday, the No Fly Zone, Guido Preparata. Very, very interesting guy, and he's got a lot of interesting stuff coming down the pipeline. I will have him on the show again. He's very keen to appear on the show again, and I'm hoping that other people, including yourself, might be interested in having him on as well, and I'll certainly keep you guys up to date with what he's got on offer. But his writing had a huge impact on my understanding of history, had a huge impact on my understanding of how the money-powered elites of the world control geopolitics, you know, and this all sort of took place in what they call Weimar Germany, which was the interwar years between First World War and the Second World War. And he gave a detailed sort of examination of the economics and the financial dealings that went on that gave rise to Hitler, the Nazis, and ultimately, of course, World War II. And it completely turned on its head my understanding of the conventional notions of the rise of Hitler. So Guido was a very, it was a great guy to have on the show. He was very pleased, as I said, and we'll have him back on again. But yeah, no, Brit. Again, Rick, very pleased to be on the show, on the program.
Just for listeners, if you don't already know this, because some people don't realize that we have a back catalogue, if you want, of every show and every interview that has been conducted on TNT right the way back to January of this year. So if you go onto the website or onto the app and look under presenters and you click on Greg's name, there will be a list of the recorded live shows that he's done that are on there. So go on there and check out that guy. I'm going to check that out myself. I'm going for a walk later on today. I like the sound of what you're talking about, so I'll pop that on. I didn't hear it at the weekend, but I'll certainly pop it on today as I walk around in the beautiful, cool autumn air, Irish autumn air. So that'll be my little accompanying soundtrack today.
Just on next week's show, Rick, I'll just mention I've got Judy Weilerman, who will be very familiar with TNT listeners will be well familiar with Judy, and I've met her a couple of times. I've always been very impressed with for a start off, her ability to get out in front of a crowd and sort of, you know, get people on side and, you know, get them to understand, you know, what's happening. And, you know, she's been a tireless advocate for, you know, people standing up and waking up to what's happening. So I'm really looking forward to having Judy on the show this Saturday. So tuning in, 4 o'clock Perth time, 6 o'clock Brisbane time, and or they, they can check the links,
check
later
the times.
On. Yeah.
So that's Dr. Judy Weilerman, and she's also, if my memory's correct, she's based down in Western Australia as well, isn't she? She was operating out of university there.
I believe
there
she
for,
is, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's
I've had her on quite a while ago, but yeah, she was a lovely lady, and she's written a very good book as well. I don't have the name of it to hand, but I'm sure you'll get into that with her when you have her on the show. So check out No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on TNT Radio at the weekend. Check the calendar for exact times, depending on where you are, and also check his recorded output so far, and as time goes by your catalog will grow, and it's nice actually to have that in one block, recorded block, so people can go and peruse through it, depending on whether there's someone there that they maybe missed that they want to link up with. So use that facility out there, listeners, and catch up with stuff that you may have missed. So at the minute, you know, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on things. You mentioned, let me tie it into what you've just said, actually. You talked about the Second World War. You talked about Weimar Germany and so on and so forth. And Putin has been making some press releases this week, you know, and understandably disgruntled. Vladimir Putin has been addressing the world's media. And, you know, he made an interesting statement. He said, you know, to the people of Europe, we don't hate you. We don't hate you, but your leaders hate you. Okay, to the people of Europe, we, the Russians, don't hate you, but your leaders hate you. And then he went on to say, he said, you know, the Nazis did not lose the Second World War. Okay, and he wasn't referring to Hitler and the Nazi regime in Germany. I think what he was alluding to was the Nazis actually won the Second World War, being, you know, the people that are currently destroying our lives, our societies, our mental and physical health and our economies at the moment. Those are Putin's words, by the way. I'm just simply relaying back what he said. He has a point to a degree, does he not? Are we not undergoing democide at the minute, whereby our own governments are actually turning on us and eliminating us? That's their plan, it seems to be.
Look, the word, these people are completely and utterly amoral. You know, some, you could describe them as evil, I suppose, and that's, again, that's not a word that I bandy around a lot, but you know, they, you know, the people that are behind the you know, like, for example, the people that are behind this this pipeline sabotage. And I don't think anybody, even at this stage, would say or even attempt to suggest that it wasn't sabotage. And I think, you know, we can definitely go so far as to say who the culprits were, because they've telegraphed what they were going to do, you know, well and truly beforehand. In the lead into today's session, of course, we had that snippet from Joe Biden saying, you know, suggesting that, look, you know, this is not going to go ahead. And of course, you know, and, you know, just recently, of course, they've had these what do they call them, sort of trial runs. They've been detonating or using drones in and around the area where the pipeline explosions took place. They've had war games and things like that. And it's, you know, I mean, I don't think we could, you wouldn't have to sort of think too hard about, you know, who's behind this. I mean, it comes down to who's got the motive. I mean, are the Russians going to, you know, sabotage their own pipeline? I don't think so. The Germans going to do it? Now, that would be cutting off their nose to spite their face. Who's got the capabilities? Well, you know, the Ukrainians could have done it, but as one commentator said today, you know, just, you know, to actually sabotage these pipelines, which I understand are, well and truly submerged, requires actually the use of a submarine. They can't send a few free divers down to do this. So that
they're huge, by the way. These pipes, they're not like your water pipes going in and out of your house. You know, they're thick, solid steel pipes encased in cement at the bottom of the seabed, massive bore on them, massive diameter on them. So it's not the sort of thing, you know, that you could bump into with your shopping cart and break a hole in it and the methane gets out. No, this was a controlled demolition. This was an act of sabotage. Let's be under no illusion about it. Some people are saying it was an accident. Some people are saying it was, you know, some freak accident. Listen, you don't have a freak accident at the bottom of the seabed to destroy an international gas pipeline. It just doesn't happen. People, if you think this was an accident, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. I want to keep on this. I want to dig into this a bit more because, you know, there's a lot of crumbs, you know, you follow the crumbs, you know, when you reach the destination. There's a lot of crumbs have been laid down this year already. You mentioned Biden. Victoria Nuland also in January alluded to the same thing. She said if Russia goes into Ukraine, borders are breached, the tanks go over into Ukraine, Nord Stream will not be happening one way or the other. Victoria Nuland, what a wicked woman she is. But let's do some character assassination of our world leaders when we come back after this short ad break here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
You should hear what O'Meara and Borgeson are talking about.
We're going to talk about President Biden's recent executive order titled Comprehensive Framework for Responsible Development of Digital Assets. To me, that's just a word salad for how best to track your money. Right now, interest rates are rising, the cost of food and rent is skyrocketing, and people are struggling to make ends meet. How will going digital make a difference in your life? And one can't help ask, who benefits? Every day, we see how commercial finance is changing. Phones swiped over keypads for purchases. No need for cash, credit, or debit. Microchips are inserted into hands to allow access to home and work. More importantly, make no mistake, anything digital can be tracked. Every move you make can be tracked. Think about the animal microchips. It's no different with humans. What if you don't want to get chipped and digitized? Will you become a societal pariah? No? Think again. Remember what happened to anyone who refused the COVID jab. They were a danger to society.
O'Meara and Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The ones that matter most are the children. There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care.
As a father, I feel very good about leaving my kids here, and they have way more opportunities here.
I can come on campus and I can feel the good vibes, and the children, they can really grow.
Together, we are giving Lakota children brighter futures and a proud connection to their past. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
We have every right to believe Ukraine funds are being money laundered, unless proven otherwise. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Greg, this business of the Nord Stream pipeline, you know, they're saying Putin did it. He did it to escalate things. He has valves. There's things called valves. Someone has a big valve at his end. And if he wants to cut off the supply, he'll do it. Apparently, this pipeline took 10 years to build, cost billions upon billions upon billions. So I don't think he would have done that to provoke an act of war. He could have done something else. Newland telegraphed it. Biden telegraphed it. I don't know if you're off Twitter now, but there was an ex-Polish government minister who's now a member of the European Parliament put a photograph of the methane bubbling to the surface and simply captioned it, "Thanks, USA." So, you know, this is a member of the European Parliament thanking America on social media for blowing up Nord Stream 2. What's Putin, what do you think he's going to do? There's talk about him saying, okay, you want to go tit for tat? Most of your internet runs along the Atlantic seabed. You want to bomb our pipeline? Let's cut you off. Let's cut you off from the internet because our internet, as in Putin's and China's, is internal. They don't rely on underwater cables. Could we see an internet retaliatory strike, which, let's face it, would cause more pain and suffering for people than possibly a nuclear war, because we're all so bloody addicted to the internet?
Exactly right. Look, you know, just harking back to your original question, Rick, or you know, about when I was speaking with Guido in his book called Conjuring Hitler, he goes into quite a bit of length about how the actual Great Depression was created. And of course, you know, the Great Depression caused enormous economic and social destruction around the world, not least of which is in Germany. The point being is that these people, and of course they're not the same people now, but they're the descendants of the same people with the same mindset that are kind of calling the shots now, that will be prepared, and this is my point here, is they'd be prepared, and they are prepared, to go to any lengths to achieve their ultimate objectives. You know, it'll be a case of, you know, let's destroy the empire in order to try and save the empire. You know, as I said, these people just will not stop. So if where it goes to from here, I don't know. We could have, and this has been mooted for some time, a complete and total digital shutdown of the world. I can't remember the name of the phrase that's generally used, but they've actually been wargaming this scenario now for some time. And of course, people should remember that they wargamed the whole COVID scenario, you know, less than 6 months before COVID actually hit. And the wargame scenario played out almost exactly per the script. So, you know, these people are not only, you know, capable of doing anything, they've demonstrated that they are willing to do anything. And they actually, as we've seen with, you know, they've telegraphed what their plans are. So anything is possible. An internet shutdown, shutting down of, you know, like, you know, energy pipelines and these sorts of things, anything that disrupts the economy. And of course, one of the most disruptive events in history, of course, was the Great Depression. You know, and I think, you know, they would be prepared to repeat history again. And that's already with an economy that's on the brink anyway, Rick, you know, as we know, a global economy that's well and truly on the brink.
The other thing is too, Greg, a lot of people could be listening and thinking, well, you know, they won't go that far because no one can do without the internet for this. They don't have to do it for a long time. If, for example, in a worst case scenario, they were to launch a major cyber attack, say on Australia, and knock out the vast majority of your internet connectivity, even for, say, what, 3 days? 3 days, not 3 months or three years, 3 days. No one would be withdrawing cash. No one could make any online banking transactions. No one could conduct any business online. No one could communicate with anybody. In the space of 3 days, that would cause a hell of a lot of havoc, a hell of a lot of panic. And in fact, it would almost be a taster a taster to say, okay, that was so bad for 3 days. Could you imagine what it would be like if that was to happen for a week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks? Never mind 3 years or losing the internet completely. Most people are, and listen, they have engineered things at the minute that most people are addicted to being online. It's like crack cocaine. And, you know, if you were not to have internet, I actually believe, I have a friend that comes on here, and if he's listening, Darren of Plymouth, Darren Jenner, he's terrified of losing his internet. I actually think Darren would prefer to be nuked, literally nuked, than lose his internet for 3 days. That's how bad it is. And most people are in the same boat. So that's something to bear in mind, listeners. We're not talking about losing it forever. We're not talking about even a week. I'm telling you now, 3 days of no internet for anybody would be enough to frighten the you-know-what out of people and get them to comply with just about anything the government was to lay in front of them as a solution to make sure it didn't happen again. But it's just a thought, just a theory. We've got to take a real quick news break. When we come back, want to look at some items that are making the news in Australia, one of which actually has to do with cybersecurity, because there's been a furore in Oz over the last week over a so-called cyber breach, which I believe, of course, will be used to leverage stricter government measures and clampdowns and digital security in the shape and form of the Optus cyber attack. So we'll look at that when we come back after the news here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. A fourth leak has been detected in the Nord Stream gas pipelines connecting Russia and Europe, following an apparent attack on the critical infrastructure earlier this week. Military analysts have sounded the alarm over Washington's endless support for Ukraine. And 4 years after banning weapons supplies to Ukraine's neo-Nazi Azov battalion, US Congress has welcomed a delegation of the fighters in Washington, sparking outrage in the country.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Okay, BBC News is reporting Optus, how a massive data breach has exposed Australia. Makes you sound like some perverts that sit on park benches and wait for ladies to go past in your big Mac raincoats. Hey, hey, look over here. Is it the same sort of thing? Is that what's happening? Is that the kind of exposure they're talking about? What are they talking about, exposed Australia? What's all that about?
Well, can I firstly say that I haven't been exposing myself lately.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, there'll be probably a few other people who'll be very thankful for that as well.
Although the way you said lately there causes me a little bit of concern, the way you added lately in there, but, you know, better, you know.
That's
maybe
true.
That's in the old days, the old
grade. Like I just, a bit of a Freudian slip there, I suppose. But, no, like I said before, I'm a bit too old for that now. But anyway, be that as it may, the Cyber Polygon was the name of the that's the phrase that's used for a major global shutdown of the internet and any kind of digital related services. And what isn't these days? What doesn't run on the internet these days? I can't think of too many things. And in fact, I'm whether the Optus attack, and I haven't read up much on it, but it's certainly been making the news quite a bit here, obviously in Australia, which I believe was the country most affected. Whether this is sort of like a precursor to what we can expect if this cyber polygon thing is put into place. And of course, like I said, they've been wargaming these kind of scenarios for some time. What's kind of interesting, I'm reading a book, Rick, at the moment that talks about the book title of the book's actually called Synthetic Terrorism, and it's written by a guy called Webster Griffin Tartley. Very well worth a read. It's quite a big book, but Synthetic Terrorism is all about creating these events that like 9/11, the Kennedy assassination, whatever it might be, some of these big events. And yet what we find out much later on is that trials or war games or sorts of, what do they call them now? Yeah, just they sort of war game the whole scenario. And in fact, there were many of them that were happening on the day of 9/11. And suddenly one of these war games actually went live, somebody, what they call tripped it live. Really fascinating thing here. Again, the same thing with the pipeline, apparently, that, you know, that they've been kind of playing games and, you know, what would happen? Let's just create a simulation, I guess, is really what they're saying here. Let's simulate a sabotage of the pipeline. The Americans, apparently, the American Navy or the U.S. Navy was actually doing this around about that same time. They were obviously wargaming the advent of COVID. So, you know, and then, of course, it happens. So, you know, if the Optus thing was actually an indication of where the internet is going to go under some kind of cyber polygon scenario, then we are in for big trouble. I think we could just about anticipate that it will come down the pike.
Yeah.
It will just be a matter of it'll be just a bit of a toss-up as to when it will actually happen. But I do not think, Rick, that we can expect these people will stop at anything to achieve their ultimate goals, you know, whether it's the WEF.
They won't, you know, they've still got cards up their sleeves that they haven't played yet, and one of which, without a shadow of a doubt, is a major cyber attack, a major internet attack. For your own information, and this is somewhere that I go, there's two places, in my humble opinion, are the best places to go online to get concise write-ups about the things that you're talking about. One is a website called Sociable, Sociable.co, Sociable.co. The other one is truthtalk.uk. Sociable.co is run by a good friend of mine called Tim Hinchliffe, who's based in Colombia, who extensively researches and writes pretty much only on cyber polygons, transhumanism, AI, WEF, etc., etc. Actually, the WEF manager went after him online not so long ago. And Tim was sitting in a log cabin somewhere in upstate New York vacationing with his family and found out that the WEF managing director, whoever that guy is, was actually pulling him apart online. And Tim just lives in a little house on top of a mountain somewhere in the Andes. Doesn't even have a phone. Has internet connection, of course. There you go. And he writes and curates this website, sociable.co, from his abode in Colombia. So check that out if you want to get all the breakdowns and the lowdown on somebody who's went into great detail. And he's a really good writer too. He's a journalist. He's a really good writer. So you would enjoy his output. And also truthtalk.uk, Seek for Truth, Toby Brown, David Nolan. They cover all aspects of this as well. It's my go-to place. They do all the hard work. They do all the research. So I don't have to. I just simply plagiarize their work and simply relay it back to people and give them credit for it. So it'll save you a lot of digging, put it like that. And it's very, very well written and referenced. So those are two sources of information for you and for all the listeners out there. The Optus business, they're great and great fellas too. And in fact, if you check the back catalogue for Locked and Loaded and look up Tim Hinchliffe, not Cliff Hinchliffe, Hinchliffe, Hinchliffe. He's been on the show quite a few times. He's brilliant and Seek for Truth as well. But the Optus business, in a nutshell, last week, Australian telecoms giant Optus revealed about 10 million customers, about 40% of the population, had personal data stolen in a cyber attack. So that's a lot. That's 10 million. 10 million Aussies had personal data stolen last week in a cyber attack on Optus. Experts say it may be the worst data breach in Aussie history. Can't think of anything that would be too much worse than that. But this week has seen more dramatic and messy developments, including ransom threats, tense public exchanges, scrutiny over whether this continued to hack at all or whether or not it was simply incompetence. Doesn't matter who did it. Doesn't matter whether or not it actually happened or it's all been engineered and it's been fabricated and it's a psyop, it will be used as part of the problem reaction solution model to bring in tighter controls and more authoritarian measures when it comes to internet access, I would say, and your own personal data through possibly digital IDs and wallets going down the line. Ardern's been pushing for it this week as well. She says that the internet can be weaponized by people spreading disinformation, and she wants more control over it. Who's used it to greater effect to disinformationize the population than her? What a hypocrite. But there you go. Gaslighting again from our resident NZ psychopath, Jacinda Ardern. So maybe that's what we're seeing here, Greg. It's not so much the attack itself. You know, they've told us 10 million people have been compromised. How are we ever going to know if that's true or not? But it will certainly be used as an example to say, do you want that to be you? We want to protect you. We want to look after Australians. We don't want this to happen. We don't want you to be blackmailed. We don't want people to have your personal identification. So we're going to roll out tighter controls for your benefit. And there you go. Bish, bash, bosh. Next thing, cyber clampdown. There you go. What do you think of that?
Oh, look, totally. You know, they're softening us up. They're seeding the ground, I guess, is another phrase as well. And again, people sort of, how do we react to this? I'm not an Optus customer. But I tell you what, if I was an Optus customer, I'd be wanting to know, you know, what's going on. I'd be wanting a few answers. So it's going to be interesting to see how they weasel their way out of this. And in fact, you know, was Optus themselves, were they actually responsible? Was it an internal leak? Was there an internal problem? Or is somebody hacked into their system? Either way, they've got a real big problem. Whether there's a back door in their system, and these are things that, you know, the technology is definitely there. I'm not a technical person, but I've read enough to know that, you know, these systems, if they can be hacked. There will be somebody out there that can hack these systems. But, you know, there's also countermeasures. They're supposed to have these countermeasures in place. And, you know, it should frighten us, really, that a major company like Optus, major telecommunications company, can have its data stolen like this in such a manner. But, of course, you know, other organisations, Facebook has had, you know, the same issues. There have been plenty of other of these big tech and communications companies that have had similar problems. You know, how this plays out, really, I think you're quite right, Rick, is that it's all part of this gambit, whether it's WEF or anybody else there. Their final gambit is this problem reaction solution situation. Look, we've got all these problems here. We've had these problems and these problems here. But look, hey, you know, this is our game plan with the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. We can solve all of these problems. And eventually, I think people's resistance, to the extent that we are able to put up any kind of resistance or are able to sort of say, hey, look, guys, what's going on? If fix this up, they'll come back with the ultimate solution, the one that is the one that they've been seeking all along. And I think, you know, people will, by that time, will be so tired and fed up, they'll just accept it. That's my big fear, and I think it's the big fear for most of us.
You're right. And I tell you, as we're talking, and we're talking about military conflicts in the past, and where I live, believe it or not, one of the best things about living in Ireland, there's a lot of old castles near where I live, ruined castles that are like 1,000 years old. Okay. Keeps, battlements, curtain walls, mounds, motts and baileys. And I can go and visit them and walk around them. It's amazing. It's incredible. We have a lot of these really old castles. And castles were built as fortified structures to withstand attacks. Okay, so when you came up, you marched up against the castle, you had a big embankment, there was a humongous curtain wall, you know, 5 feet thick, people on top firing arrows down at you, pouring oil in your head or boiling sand. It was tough to get into one of those castles. So what do you do? Do you start hammering on the wall with a rock hammer or what? No, you besiege the castle. You besiege the castle. And sooner or later, they will run out of food. And sooner or later, they will become fatigued. And unless they have their own water supply, they will dehydrate to death. So you get into what's called siege warfare. You don't actually have to do anything. You just have to cut them off from the outside world. Are you getting this picture here? So what I think has been done to us has been, we have been under siege for 2+ years, 2.5 running up towards 3 years. Our resources are running low. Our resilience is running low. Our morale is running low. And they're just adding pressure, 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 pressure. And what they're hoping for is that the heads will go down and the hands will come up and we will surrender rather than starve to death. The same type of thing. And this is just another aspect of it. And you mentioned it there about people are just so tired and so fatigued that it's almost like they'll take anything that's coming if they think it will preserve them and give them a return to the good old days again, which of course you and I both know will not actually come with these globalists. They'll wait until they get you outside the castle walls and then they'll probably behead you, put your head on a spike and your body in a gibbet for the crows to eat. So as you're talking, you triggered that analogy in my head. I hope you don't mind me sharing it with you. Siege warfare. Go and study siege warfare and understand that that's what's being employed against you right now. And I'm feeling it. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely feeling I've been under siege for 2.5 years and I'm still plenty of fight in this old dog, but no doubt about it, I'm not as fresh as I was 2 years ago, that's for sure. But I'm not done yet, globalists. Take note. There's a lot of fight left in the Munisher yet. Understand that and come at me at your own peril. But anyway, enough fighting rhetoric for me for now. We've got to take another quick ad break. When I come back, actually, I want to look at recycling bins. Yes, recycling bins. And possibly you touched on the old 5G business. Just curious to get your thoughts on that, because I'm noticing a lot of these masts, these sinister, evil, wicked-looking masts springing up all over the place, and people are walking about with radiation detectors, and they're going, "Whirr!" You go up past these towers. So, yeah, let's touch on those issues just before we wrap it up with you, Greg, when we come back after the news here. Please don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the United States weather, and rightfully so. We pinpointed over a week ago what was going to happen with this storm, and of course, it is happening. And of course, the climate activists all wake up when something actually happens. They have no idea something is coming until it actually shows up. Last night, I was on the set of Sean Hannity's show, actually waiting to come on, and he put on a video of Amy Klobuchar, who's a U.S. senator, saying, "Well, this is why we passed the bill for climate change." You know, I got to tell you something. Either people like that don't know what actually is going on, or they do, and they're going to lie about it, okay? But it did get me aggravated because of the fact that it is complete fabrication that a storm like this blew up as it coming to the coast, especially since you had me outlining it 10 days before. How does someone that knows so little about CO2 know so much about the weather? That's the mystery question. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, my name is Marnie Dobek. I'm a family physician, and my son Zachary almost died of sepsis last year. We were lucky. Most people don't know the word sepsis, and they don't know the symptoms. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Know sepsis. To learn more about the symptoms, please go to sepsis.org.
The news everyone is talking about. TNT Radio, where the longer you listen, the more reasons you find to keep listening. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
All right, let's meander a little bit off the beaten track, which if you're a resident of Victoria and you're in a national park and you do that, Dan Andrews is going to come after you, allegedly, for, trespassing off established trails. He's a maniac, this guy. Sticking with Victoria, actually. Willie Bins, okay? So The Guardian is reporting here that all Victorians are to get four wheelie bins to enable the recycling of soft plastics and pizza boxes. Okay, so State Environmental Minister Lily D'Ambrosio and federal counterpart Tanya P- Plibersek announced changes as part as a $515 million recycling plan. $515 million, half a billion dollars invested in recycling pizza boxes and plastics in wheelie bins. And the last I checked, a wheelie bin is made of thick plastic. And every home in Victoria is to get not one, not two, not three, but four of these things to stick outside their houses, and they will dutifully separate their rubbish for recycling at a cost of half a billion. Greg, is that a worthwhile investment given the cost of living crisis and the fact that we're going to hell on a handcart financially? Or maybe I'm not seeing the long game here. I'm cynical. I'm seeing contractors making hundreds of million dollars of all of this. I'm seeing politicians having their palms greased, and I'm seeing people being trained like chimpanzees to put little boxes into this blue one and then the green one, and then on Wednesday they come and pick up the red one. It's very infantile, isn't it?
I don't know about this recycling thing. I really don't. I mean, I do.
I don't do it.
Obviously,
I don't do it.
We all do it. And perhaps it is making some kind of an impact. But when you think about the amount of plastic that ends up in the oceans, just the plastic alone, and that's just in the oceans, which, you know, is increasing all the time. And how long have we been recycling all this stuff? Yet, you know, the presence of plastic in our oceans is still causing major problems. So I'm not sure that the recycling that we've been doing, whether it's plastic or anything else, but let's stick with plastic for the moment, I'm not sure that it's really making that much of an impact.
It's not.
So, I mean, are they actually recycling at the other end, or are we just being sort of conned into it?
We're being conned.
You know, I mean, and we've seen just how much conning, if you like, and scams have gone on just throughout COVID, and how people are willingly buying into these cons and these scams. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, mind you, it's, you know, this has been going on for some time. I now no longer believe that global warming or climate change, or call it whatever you like, is the big bogeyman or the big problem that people make it out to be. I'm not a scientist, so I can't really say that definitively, but I'm not now convinced that climate change and global warming or climate change is the big problem. I can see another agenda here. And, you know, whether it's with recycling plastic, you have to sort of question just about any of these kinds of policies these days. I think if there's one lesson that we can take and should take from COVID, is that whatever our politicians and whatever our officials and our policymakers and our media tell us, it just simply cannot be trusted, Rick. You know, the key thing for me is the complete loss of trust in our institutions, whether it's our media, our academia, our political classes, our corporations. You know, to me, the trust has completely gone out the window. And so whether we're talking about recycling plastic, I think the thing that we have to assume is somebody out there is making a lot of money.
Correct.
Out of this.
Correct. And, half a billion dollars, man. Half a billion dollars to do what? And by the way, I agree, the pollution, the plastic bags, a lot of that's caused by ignorant, dirty, rotten, filthy humans who don't even know how to use a litter bin. All right.
Yeah.
So the reason why it's ending up in the ocean is not because it's not even being recycled or dealt with in landfill. It's because I can't even find the word to use that's family friendly here, but I hate litter louts, you know. Just take your rubbish and put it in a damn bin, or put it in your own bin. Just don't throw it at the side of the road. If you're at the beach, chuck it on the beach. That's just people who are, they're not even being brought up properly as human beings, all right? They're just filthy, dirty pigs, all right? And I know from where I live, our local council, we have two bins, one for general waste and the other one's for cardboard and plastic and so on and so forth. Someone put out a Freedom of Information Act, and apparently 40 to 50% of the recyclable stuff goes to landfill anyway. They just simply can't recycle all the stuff. They just simply dump it with everything else, all right? I don't know about Australia. They brought out an initiative not so long ago, well, years ago, that were going to start charging us for plastic bags. You know, you go to the supermarket, you get a plastic bag. When they brought it out, they were charging 5 pence, which is what? 8 cents. 8 Aussie cents per plastic bag. And they thought that'll put people off plastic bags. It didn't. People just wanted them. They didn't care. You know how much it is now for me to get a plastic bag? It's almost as expensive for me to get, if I buy a loaf of bread and put it in a plastic bag, the bag is almost as expensive as the bloody bread. All right. So it's now up to 50 cents. 50 cents for a plastic, a disposable crappy plastic bag. And it's about 85 cents for the loaf of bread. It's almost doubling the price if you want a plastic bag. But you know what? I'm so bloody minded. I don't care if they charge me $10 for a plastic bag. If they don't want me using them and they're trying to de-incentivize, I will use them even if they go up to $10 a bag just to piss off the government. That's my attitude at the minute. I don't care what they charge for them. And I asked the people at the shop, I said, who gets this money? Who gets this money? And they said, we do. We do. They say, we can charge you for it and we can pocket it. It's to put you off. And I said, well, you know what? You're not going to put me off. I don't care what you charge me. I'm going to give me an extra one. I don't have anything to put in it. Just give me two. Give me two. Just to piss them off. That's my mindset. Now, maybe that's not a very productive mindset. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean,
go in and buy empty plastic bags. Say, I have no shopping, but give me 5 plastic bags. Give me 10. Forget the food. Give me 10 plastic bags.
These days I do take, I've got a little shoulder bag that I take. It is plastic, but it's, you know, a very durable one. And I also have those cloth bags as well that you occasionally buy. So I have made myself a very concerted effort recently to, when I do go and do a bit of shopping, take a few bags with me. So I'm constantly recycling the same shopping bags, but you know, I may be the exception to the rule there.
I'm being a little bit angsty here, by the way. I'm being a little bit stupid. What I'm saying makes no sense, but it kind of gives me a perverted kick to know I don't care if you bankrupt me. Should I have to remortgage my house to buy these damn plastic bags? I'm going to do it. That's the point that I'm at now. That's what I mean. I'm fatigued. I'm battle weary. I'm prepared to go bust just to prove a point over plastic bags. And by the way, we get a shop once a week for stuff that we can't buy locally. I go and collect it. We have these big, massive cloth bags. But when I go to the local supermarket, I always get plastic bags. Or what they actually do is, listen to this, they will sell you like 200 of these things in a row for about 50 cents. So they'll charge you for them. And then, you know, I've bought up loads of rolls of thousands of these things. I will use more of them now because they've put the levy on it than if they'd just left us alone and stopped trying to penalize us over something like a plastic bag. I shouldn't be getting this upset about a plastic bag, but I think there's deeper psychological issues at play here for me as a human being, and I'm going to try and work through them with my therapist. What do you think?
Well, good luck with that, Rick. Let me know how you go.
Good luck to the therapist. I don't have a therapist, by the way. I have a wife.
I might invite your therapist on my next, as a guest on my next show. That'll be interesting.
My therapist is my wife. God bless her. I have to give her props. Her and I go out, we walk around, we go for walks, and you know what? She has to listen to some. You think you have to listen to crap when you come on this show for me? You have no idea. This is nothing. This is nothing compared to what my beautiful, lovely wife has to put up with. So big shout out to her. She's in Dublin today on work business, but she'll be listening into the show later on. So a big salute to her. And a big salute to you too. You have to come on and listen to crap. And poor old Jeff in the studio, he has to listen to hours of this every week. I don't know how he's still smiling. I do not know. Maybe he's got a good therapist and he's on the blue pills as well. I don't know, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful, and I love you, and I thank you all. I sound like I'm receiving an award.
At least Jeff's getting paid for it. You know, is your missus getting paid for it?
No, nothing could compensate her. Mate, she's been with me for pushing 20 8 years this December. Yeah. How, you know, the old saying is, if she'd have killed me on the first day, she'd have served 15 years in prison and been out, and could have killed another husband and been out again. But no, she's managed to keep the bread knife in the cupboard, and I thank her for that. Oh, my friend, listen, props to our loved ones, props to our families, props to our relatives that have to maybe deal with all of our little episodes and little flare-ups from time to time. And you know what, on that note, we're pretty much up to time here. Just a quick plug out for you. Greg Mabry, the No Fly Zone, airs on TNT Radio on Saturdays. Check out our website, tntradio.live. Look at the schedule at the weekend. You will see Greg's show coming up there on the show times. And also, should you miss him or should you miss any of his content, there's a back catalogue of recorded output there as well under Greg's name. And also, he has a Substack, gregjmabry.substack.com, where he writes a lot. Also, check that out too. Greg, massive thanks and salute to you, sir, for coming on tonight. I always enjoy talking to you. We'll stay in touch. Right, I need to compose myself of another victim. I mean, guest coming up after the news, hopefully here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.